back to Linux Weekly, Daily Wednesdays, where we can sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things we found going on in the world of Linux. I'm Ben Stone, joined every week by Joe Bryant and Juan Pedro Mateus, and everyone's sitting at home. Maybe you're standing at home, standing desk sort of thing now. I'd like one, but that's a lot of standing. Watch this live on Wednesdays. It's definitely a thing. What's going on, everyone? It's been a fun, exciting week. A lot of stuff going on. I've been playing around. If you follow me on the Twitters, yes, that's the social media that starts with a T. I have been hacking away on a Pi 0W because I was very, I think I talked about it last week. I definitely talked about it Saturday. I was looking around the internet and I'm like, yo, I want to build like a little webcam to see what the comparison is between like the high quality 12 megapixel camera, which is across the room from me right now, next to my Nikon D3400. I've got that together. It's working. I'm compiling a guide because the guides are just long, drawn out, and a lot of them are in like Mac or Windowese that I don't get. I genuinely a legitimate issue. That's not anything other than I don't know these programs. Like, I don't have access to these programs. We could do this all with Linux. And I want to get you in and out in 5 minutes because that's how long it really takes to set up a Raspberry Pi webcam. And I got my last little parts. Amazon delivery driver so lovingly launched this at my door from my front lawn, which good arm on him. I commented on that because he was still making his way back to his device. So Patreons, check that out later this week. I'll probably have that at maybe Friday preview version of that. It will be fascinating. Jill, what's new with you?
Oh boy, I'm working on two Ryzen builds. The first one, a mid-range, a mini ITX build, probably with a 2600X. I may go up from there, but haven't decided yet. And I'm actually waiting on the AMD GPU Big Navi announcement coming October 28th to decide what GPU I want to buy, AMD or NVIDIA. And of course, the new Ryzen CPUs come out in November. So that's when I'm gonna build a big machine after that.
Hear all the specs. It's a terrible time to be putting PCs together.
Yeah.
No. What you have to do is you have to wait for the AMD announcement. Like, okay, now mm-hmm. now I got to wait on the Intel.
Yeah. Or the power of VR, as Arthur had mentioned earlier in Discord.
I saw Carly tweet that. Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, power of VR has been a thing. They've been rocking and rolling with that for a long time. On ARM, seeing that roll out, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay. Well, set the clock. Clock to what? Ven, till NVIDIA acquires a new company.
They need that extra compute.
No, Jensen's like, yeah, just add one of those to the collection. Why not? Why not? So, you know, we got ARM matching set, right?
Yeah. 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 Makes sense. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Together. Or RISC-V.
What's new, Pedro?
Yeah, over here, I got a thing in the mail today, which I ordered like 2 weeks ago. So, you know, the slow boat from China is not as slow. It's just one of the, well, it's 10 of these teeny tiny little soldering learning kits. It comes with a couple of transistors, a couple of, four resistors, two capacitors, two LEDs, and the little power supply input. So, yeah, no, the base PCB, of course. So I'm just gonna, well, I already got started on mounting everything, and then I looked at the clock, it's like, oh yeah, no, it's Wednesday today. Here I am.
At least you didn't bake a chicken. Hey, man, I want you to live stream some of that. You don't have to do it for everyone. I just want to watch.
Could probably do it from the phone, yeah? Because I can't do it here. I have to do it in the kitchen on accounts of window. Yeah. So, yeah.
100% down with that. Mm-hmm. Learn to solder, kids. You'll save yourself a lot of money or cost yourself lots. Ultimately, years later, they'll cancel each other out. You know, you'll basically be restarted.
Karma balances it out eventually.
I'm just saying, sometimes, you know, if it's still working, you just haven't repaired it enough.
I can improve it.
Speaking of improvements, Linux 5.9 has been released.
Our favorite master of penguins, Linus Torvalds, has released Linux kernel 5.9 with lots of great enhancements. It will have support for the latest AMD GPUs being announced October 28th. Yay, Big Navi. the RDNA RX 6000 series. So
initial support.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a lot like the 5000 CPU GPU launch.
Yeah,
give it a couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah, and so there's also support for the Intel Rocket Lake graphics card, and there'll be performance improvements for our loved IBM ThinkPads. That's always a good thing, especially now that Lenovo is selling their ThinkPads with Ubuntu. And initial support for the IBM Power 10 processors. I thought that was really cool. Awesome. We love Power 10. And there's just lots of... this was a huge release, actually. There's better management of anonymous memory, a new slab memory controller, lower overall kernel memory usage. It's just there. It's huge. Yeah, go and read the notes to see all the changes made. It's amazing.
One of the things I saw here, this is going to be the first release that supports the LG Ultra 5 5K monitor at a native 5K resolution. That thing takes two display ports.
That's awesome.
Yeah, okay, right.
And you're thinking about that, and you're like, oh, okay, this sounds kind of neat. Maybe I want to play with that. That also requires Wayland. So I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. Got to wait just 10 more years, and we'll be able to play around with it.
Yeah, the thing I know that popped out to me were all of the attempts to bring back the performance that was taken away from the mitigations from the speculative execution exploits that were discovered. This year, last year, and the year before that. So, it's good to see that at least they now have a different way to try and squeeze out that extra performance out of your CPUs. And it's not just for Intel CPUs, it's also for AMD ones because, well, they have a matter of hyper-threading now, too. They call it simultaneous multi-threading. But, yeah, no, that's good to see.
Or you could see equals off. My peeps know what I'm talking about. Kadian Live 20.08.2 is out. It's the thing. You can put it all over your PC. I made our credits with it today because why not? I wanted to try it out. There's a bunch of new stuff in this, man. This is going to bring a couple things people have been waiting on. But this has got the automatic scene split feature. That's neat. Experimental GPU rendering. Okay, yes. Well, don't get too excited because it's just proxy, but it's got a new crop effect. Besides the usual like round of usability improvements and bug fixes, it's just a nice solid little release. And those GPU profiles for rendering proxies, that's for your timeline preview. If you got something you need to render down that you can't normally like cut through back in Fords, that will take care of it. Now. The reason you have to create proxy clips is if you're using a nonlinear video editor that doesn't take advantage of compute, where you could normally just scrub through regular timelines. Also, I'll give everyone a little bit of advice. I see this every now and then. Someone's like, okay, I see this with DaVinci Resolve. Good. You can't out of the box. You got to give them money, man. You got to make it rain a little bit in order to get MPEG layer 4. MP4 H.264 support under Linux because it's a licensing thing. They're not trying to nickel and dime you. But you don't want to edit in that anyway. Just don't, you know, throw it out to like ProRes or DNX HD. That's going to make your life infinitely easier. But you have some thoughts on this, Jill.
Yeah. Well, I was actually really looking forward to the GPU profiles for timeline preview rendering as well. Because I often use lots of effects in the timeline, and it gets really clunky and slow, even on really high-end systems. So I'm really looking forward to putting that to its paces. And it will improve Kadian Live so much once they get full GPU acceleration across the whole the pipeline. Definitely.
10 more years, Jill. Just
yeah. They are accelerating actually really quickly, so I've been impressed.
That needle hasn't budged, man. Not with GPU acceleration.
Yeah,
has KDN Live even been around for 10 years?
Close.
Close.
Close. Yeah. I don't think it has been 10 years. Close, sure.
It's a great project. We use it to make the credits. And it's great if you want to jump in, do some things. But Petivi.
Yeah. Has,
like, focused on something that I think a lot of people should focus on, a lot of projects should focus on. And it's not these features. It's not all this extra whiz bang stuff. No, Jill. They're focused on stability.
Yes, stability, stability, stability. And yeah, this is the new release of PityV 2020.09. It's an entry level video editor that a lot of us have used under Linux. And don't count it out as a really good editor. It has really come a long way. I've been very impressed with PityV's updates and features over the last few years. And its stability. It really works well, and it's really fast. And I installed the PityV flat pack and really had fun testing it out. This, you know, this version has everything you need to create a quick video, whether it be editing, creating transitions, creating title clips, creating color clips, which was just added in this version, and adding effects. And one of the things I was really impressed about with this version of PityV and the previous newer ones is that the ability to adjust the volume in the timeline quickly by just clicking on the track and using keyframes with what we call the rubber band in the industry to adjust your volume up and down easily, like the other more professional video editors have, like DaVinci Resolve and Adobe Premiere. So the fact that they added something like that, that's not usually included in entry-level video editors, I was really impressed with. And, you know, I've recommended PityV to people coming over from Windows and Mac who just need a quick and easy video editor on Linux, because it is so easy to use, but yet it has some very professional features. And it's just really awesome. I was really impressed with this release. Yay.
Pretty decent. Yeah, a couple things with this. Like I said, they're making a big point. They're focusing, laser focused on stability. And that's something everybody should pay attention to, because one of the reasons, you know, I'd used OpenShot for a long time because I initially started doing videos for Linux Teamcast Weekly for like 10 years ago with KDN Live. So yeah, I guess KDN Live's been around right about a decade. So right there about. And KDN Live bit me hard, man. Like I had a giant thing stacked up and it just lost it all. So I started using OpenShot. Then what about KDN Live? Stability is a very, very important thing that all nonlinear video editors, you run into. It's a real issue. But a couple of things, you know, that plugin system is going to be very, very welcome. Easy Ken Burns effect. Pedro, yeah. I knew you were personally excited about that. So
I have no idea what that is.
I know. That's where I'm going. I want to know, what do you think the Ken Burns effect is?
Okay. First of all, not American. I know my accent might indicate that I am.
Universally known thing in any video editor. It's known as the Ken Burns effect for video. It's not an American thing. So
that I was going to say, I'm not familiar with the pop culture, much less when it comes to video editors, because I've used those total of 10 times, I guess.
The origins of this starts with documentaries.
Public Broadcasting Network, actually. Yeah. And a lot of the World War II and World War I documentaries from PBS back in the 90s. Yeah, became a thing. And the effect is where you slowly zoom in to a corner of a picture. It's like a slideshow with a bunch of pictures you put in sequence together, and the camera moves around the picture and zooms in on it, and then it fades to the next one and moves around and zooms in on it.
Paige, you're familiar with the effect, you just didn't know we named it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you've seen it everywhere.
I've seen that effect several times in just about every documentary I've ever watched.
So what else do we have? Nested timelines, color clips, and keyboard shortcuts aimed at pros. So you're going to see something like, if you've ever opened up DaVinci Resolve, one of the first things it hits your eyeballs with is like, hey, man, do you want to use like, what is it? Adobe shortcuts.
Premiere.
Yeah, Premiere. If you're accustomed to that, we can help you out. Or do you want to it's like, nope. I don't know those, so that's good that that's going to be in there. And the next milestone, hitting hard, back on the bug fixes, and some code cleanup. I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, behind over at the blog.ptivi.org, what do you have against pictures? Like,
oh, yeah, anywhere. I know. There was just one.
You get the one screenshot.
Yeah. We're just doing the show, and I'm like, okay, let's just go to the front page. Okay, let's about nothing. I was over here scrambling while Joe was talking. I'm like, well, no screenshots for this one. YouTube backup. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so this is a project by Alex York. You can find it on GitHub, and it is just YouTube backup. And I started reading through it. Admittedly, I started skipping through the wall of text a little bit, and it's like, goals. Okay, Occam's razor thinking. How dare
you? Did you see the point where it's brutally simple?
Yeah, I saw that, and then I saw a bunch of more text, but then I saw the big goals thing. It's like, Occam's razor thinking is strongly preferred for this project. Okay, nope, the Occam's razor, the simplest solution is often the correct one. Cool, I'm with you. brutally simplifying the code at the expense of features. Okay, do one thing and do it well. I'm a Linux user. That's the Unix philosophy right there. So, again, still with you. So, I then go back and actually start reading the how to use. It's like, edit the .env file with your S3 API or S3 API information. What?
Okay, hear you from inside my Docker container.
after the next paragraph, it starts, after editing the file, just run Docker Compose up YouTube channel downloader. Mm-hmm. Did anyone see my interest? Because I think I just lost it.
Pedro, why do you hate progress?
No, seriously.
Well, I like that there is actually no code in the files in the program to delete files, so you can't delete files accidentally, which is really awesome. And I thought this was a great use of YouTube/DL, one of our favorite YouTube downloaders.
Stealing my content that it's totally released under Creative Commons SharePoint.
And yeah, you could use this method also to back up from Twitch, and I think it's brilliant. It's really well done. Nice script that runs. And
it's thick, man. A couple of things to get a look out for outside of, like, I mean, if you're a kid, all right, fine. You got Docker set up on your personal computer at home because that's how everybody's doing the things these days. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not going to judge. You can only download public videos. And when you download anything from channel, you're getting it all. You don't get to pick and choose. So keep that in mind. No half backups, man. You can't do individual backups of like playlist or like channels. Like, you're getting it all if you're doing that. Just 100% age gated videos. They hunger for cookies, so they have to be set. I mean, you have to set your cookies in there so it knows that, hey, look, I've said I'm over the age of, I don't know the age, it's like 18 or 13 or whatever on YouTube. So that's the thing. It's there, and put that in your Docker and run it.
Yeah, no, I think that simplicity got a bit lost there.
You know,
a little bit.
Once you get it set up, Pedro, see, I'm doing that.
Yes,
thing.
After I've taken the 2 hours to get it set up and learn the syntax. But yeah, no, I'm
shut
sure
up, Pedro.
It's fine.
Listen, I'm over here blindly running stuff in a sandbox, hopefully. There's a new version of the GIMP out.
Yay! GIMP 2.10.22 has been released. One of our favorite graphics editors on Linux. and Windows and Mac as well. So it's definitely a bug fix release with lots of maintenance changes to the core code.
Lua scripting. I hate that because I have to deal with that with Audur.
Oh, that's our favorite character from GIMP, Wilbur. He's our little mascot. So, so a lot of maintenance changes to the core code and overall infrastructure of GIMP. But one of the most important improvements is that of better image file format support. And yes, as you were seeing there, there is a support for the I just lost it. AVIF file format, which is actually really cool because it is a future contender for a web image format that is open and royalty free. So that might be our next PNG on the internet. And there are improvements to all the file formats, BMP, DDS, JPEG, WebP, XPM, and improved multi-layer support for TIFF orcs exporting, which is really good because that's the TIFF we often use for printing in graphics. And since many of us use GIMP for converting image file formats, these are very important updates.
It'd be nice if I could export some WebP or JPEG 2000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even open it without it throwing an error box to start with.
You know what? Well, yeah. I don't even think about it. I just change it to JPEG. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You can figure it out, man. That's good news. Always good to see new updates on the GIMP. But backup's a very serious thing. It's something that usually by the third time that you've completely hosed yourself, you finally make good on that promise to implement at least some type of partial solution. And it seems
some kind of backup solution.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Something that might stand a chance of backing up something, possibly. Daniel wants to share his mojo with the Ubuntu's. Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, Oven was saying that you know, backups are a very good thing to do, and the chances are you've probably done goofed yourself at
some
point.
You've probably lied to yourself on several occasions, saying, I'm going to set up and implement a backup strategy.
But to some people, backups are sort of a religion. Take Daniel Rosehill, where he has not just the three usual solutions, like you have the copy on the same system, the copy on an external drive, and the copy in the cloud. He also has an AWS copy on top of that, just because. But yeah, no, it is actually his backup strategy.
But Pedro, we're confused and angered by AWS, even though I have to constantly interact with it on daily basis.
Strider was actively mocking me earlier on Discord because I didn't know what, or I didn't have any S3 credentials. Like, I don't need them. I'm trying to use my desktop computer.
Whatever, scrub.
This one is, basically he just guides you through setting up, if you'd like to do it like him, where he actually has a schedule and he has
a way to do it. Wait a minute, how can you tell what it's inside that case? Huh?
That's, you open the case, you plug it in, backup, and you plug it out.
If you're going to tell me it's a hot spare, I can't even see it through that. I can't tell.
HDD 1 TV Ubuntu.
No, you have to get that t-shirt a little bit wet. Don't do it.
that's right. Pedro Mateus, hard drives, they be thirsty.
Yes, they are. Thirsty on main, as it were. But no, it is... Basically, the way he does it, it's easy. He uses CloneZilla for the on-site monthly backups. He uses TimeShift for the daily backups, which TimeShift is included with a lot of Linux distros out of the box now. And on-site monthly, he also uses CloneZilla for an external hard drive, and yearly for the AWS backup. It's... I agree with having those many copies, especially if you are working in something that you kind of need.
Pedro, how much is this going to cost me?
Nothing. Well, AWS might cost you something.
Pedro, how much is this going to cost me?
Or the hard drives, if you don't happen to have a bunch of them lying around, which I can't reach the drawer right now.
Hang on. I think I'm getting through to them, everyone. Pedro, as a non-hoarder, how much is this going to cost me?
Well, if you want to buy the 3 1-terabyte hard drives, you'll be dropping around $220 for the external SSD to make those copies a bit faster. That's another $75 on top of that. And for the enclosure that allows you to plug in and carry it around, he spent $50 on his, but that's pricey. And the USB drive, which is, you just go to the dollar store and find one, although probably worth spending the $5 like he suggests.
Well, I thought this was a really great article, Daniel Rosehill. Lots of great suggestions. And I like your workflow because I am as OCD as you are. I, too, keep at least 3 backups of everything and instill this in my animation students with their projects. Because in the animation pipeline, there have been many times when we've lost our first copy and the original copy and had to go to the third. So I hear you there. And I actually use Deja Dupe instead of Time Shift, but I like Time Shift too. I've been using Deja Dupe for years. And instead of Clonezilla, which is really a nice GUI option, I use the old school part image on my workstations. Been doing that for years. And thank you also for the CloudBerry backup for Linux suggestion. That is really cool. I had never heard of that cloud backup app. So I'm going to definitely play with that. And there's a free version of it. So very good.
I think that's all nice. It's kind of brilliant. I will say I started reading this article and I was like, well, you know, I'm celebrating my uptime birthday.
Yes. I guess that's a good way to ensure that you get those backups regularly.
You made that up. It's not a thing, and we're not going to let it be a thing, okay? I'm just saying. But the whole premise behind this was effectively, which is something I genuinely just took issue with a little bit, hear me out, is I'm stating that, well, you know, setting up Linux is really very difficult and time consuming. Compared to what? I say that. Like, I nuked and paved Jackbox, our DAW, which has a laundry list of, like, custom tweaks that has to be done for it, for the real-time audio and all the fiber noodle stuff going on. Timed it because I'm that type of person. It's 13 minutes. Desktop, Ubuntu, USB drive to working system, what, Pedro? 15, if you're slow, if you're HDD?
If you're on a hard drive, yeah, it'll take you about 15, 20 minutes.
That's all I'm saying.
Depending on if you chose to install the updates or not, don't.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying don't scare people with, whoa, Linux is like super wicked quick and super wicked and like just easy to set up. Like anybody can set it up. You plug it in.
It's less,
like especially with like Canonical, Ubuntu, something like that. That's less involved than Windows, man. That's like, give me a username. Give me a password. All right, gotcha. Go chill out. Don't really get comfortable, though. Come right back, and I'll be done.
It won't take that long. Yeah.
But once you get Linux up and working and everything. Oh, personally, like for my backup stuff, it's, I do want to say my little pro tip, learn to use rsync. Do it.
Ah, yes.
It's something I had to do. I didn't have to, but I'm glad I did. You know, it's not like, oh, this is fun. This isn't. It's not. It's not fun. It's not terribly interesting. But you can do some interesting and powerful stuff with it, especially over the network, especially when you tie in a little thing I like to call lazy man's networking, SSHFS. So, yeah, you can automate all types of fun stuff with that. And that's the thing. But once you get that box up and working, Pedro, and you think, man, you know what? I'm looking at this GNOME monitor. I think too many people run GNOME monitor. It's a bit mainstream for my taste.
To be fair, people run the Windows Test Manager. But yeah, no, this is what Sysmon is very much trying to emulate. It's the Windows Test Manager. If you've had the unfortunate occasion to have to run Windows for work at some point, you probably are very aware of the Windows Task Manager. And there are a lot of features that, especially the Windows 10 version of Windows Task Manager, it does have a lot of pretty graphics and little progress bars and the way that it lays everything out. It's very appealing to a lot of people. I get that. And if you are trying to, you know, appease a newcomer to Linux, it's probably not a terrible idea to have Sysmon.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
You just lost me. Just like with those magic words.
You know what? I'll use pip over Docker any day.
You know what? Yes. Okay, fair point.
I like pip. Pip is nice.
No, pip is, it's sane enough that you can figure it out, and it's sane enough that if you decide to nuke, it'll also get rid of any unused dependencies. Thank you. The Sysmon, what it tries to do is, just emulate the Windows Task Manager experience. However, if you are targeting the Windows people for, you know, that kind of look at that kind of functionality, what's the likelihood of them actually hearing about a third-party system manager, task manager type of situation that doesn't come pre-baked into the distro that they chose?
It's people love to be familiar with stuff. That is the biggest question of, like, where do I go to download all of my apps that look the same and work the same?
Oh, so you're relying on blog posts. The blog post that says, make your Linux desktop look exactly like Windows XP.
Yes.
I followed those.
You were there, child.
Yes. Well, I like that in the future versions, it's going to support, there'll be support for Intel and AMD GPUs. So that's very good. Right now, there's only NVIDIA. And on this box that I'm running an RX 580, you know, of course, that
I just saw the picture that Steve posted in Discord. And I was like, what's wrong with that cockatoo?
Oh, Pippi Longstocking.
Pippi Longstocking.
Pip. Pip install. Pippi Longstocking. Those are some of my favorite movies. I am Pippi Longstocking. Okay. So,
we lost.
So, anyways. So anyways, there's also going to be a dark mode in that's planned for future releases, which I'm happy about because all that white hurts my eyes.
If you have a dark mode or you have a dark theme set, it actually does a very good job of inheriting that.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah,
listen,
it does, but I wasn't using it.
You got a dark theme set? Hey, I'm Thunderbird. Come on. I'm impervious.
I also have a custom dark theme set for Thunderbird, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was using it under Flexbox.
That's the thing that's kind of brilliant. That's good to see. I mean, Activity Monitor, admittedly, I will straight up crack. There's nothing wrong with, like, HTOP, yeah, I talk about that a lot. But if I just need to, like, nuke something, especially like a group of somethings, GNOME System Manager. I mean, it's there. I'm like, boop. Mm-hmm. Even though it likes to always open this monitor way over here because that's how it rolls. We've just agreed to disagree in that point of our relationship. But yeah, I'm like, all right, right click, kill, done. Hey, look, that's dead. And I'll leave it open if I'm troubleshooting. Usually something Proton related.
Yeah. That's good to not just leave GNOME System Monitor or KSysmon or whatever one you prefer.
Yeah.
But also be SSH'd into the box that you're testing on, because the moment it freezes, it's like, kill everything, go.
Right. So we got to talk about, the internet was, they tried to get, not even a panic, they tried to get big humbum about it. The oh no, Microsoft is going to be running Linux and all that. No. But we need to talk about it. The Microsoft loves Linux because Hayden has walked in to be like, yo, man, seriously? Did we have to really do that, internet? So, yeah. As I'm sure everyone knew, but I mean, it's fun to talk about, theorize, spitball, is Microsoft is going to rebase on Windows, or rebase Windows on Linux? No, it's not. I mean, Microsoft's turning into a services company. Yeah, I don't have to worry about that. Did you see anything in here other than, like, you know, WSL does not by default do upgrades and all that fun stuff? It's effective clickbait. That's all that was, right?
Yep. And it is like the whole blog post, except
this,
for some of the.
This I wanted to bring up, though, because I know we talked about this on
tkernel
Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Was. I know. We talk about backwards compatibility. That is something, if you're going to be perfectly fair, Windows wrecks Linux on.
Like, then again, Wine wrecks Windows.
Although I can't install Windows. I can't install Windows on my old computers, a new version. I have to use Linux.
That's because you use an old junky computers.
But, you know, to be fair, Hayden's little post here is, like, reasonable all the way through, though I did think he picked some flawed supporting articles that he linked.
You're acting like somebody could be wrong on the internet.
He's not wrong. That's the whole thing. His post is right. It's like the most sensible post about this whole thing that I've seen. It's just the some of the backup articles that he picked to link, like, PC marketing is now back up and it's all thanks to Microsoft's efforts. I think there's a certain global pandemic that has more to say about that than Microsoft ever did, or Windows for that matter.
Mere coincidence.
Outside of that, he does have a point. It's like he even brings up the Surface Neo because, that's Windows is going to Windows for as long as Microsoft doesn't find an effective way to just offer Windows as a service on top of an ARM Surface. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's and his other argument was basically this will all boil down to KVM versus HyperX. That was never really a fight. Come on.
No, I mean, it's the thing, his argument is like, we're just all going to be booting into a hypervisor and running whatever.
Yeah. It's just whether people would standardize on HyperX or KVM. It's like, that fight, it never even existed. As much as Microsoft would like to have people believe that it did, it didn't.
Yeah, it's Microsoft, come on. Can you imagine being at Redmond right now, being the guy who was in charge of Windows RT? Like, oh, we're going to ARM now?
Yeah, repeatedly from the look of things. After killing the project and abandoning the Surface RT, it's like, oh, there's another Surface running on an
what arm. Do RTs go for on eBay these days? I wouldn't mind. I want to make a skateboard.
I think last I checked, really about $100.
That might be something to play with. Cool. We thought we'd give that a mention. Everyone can just chill out. I don't think anyone was like, it's always just like a fun thought experiment, though. Like,
it is. You know,
we've been having that conversation since the 90s. I distinctly remember, like, even in university, I think even in secondary school, we were like, oh, when's Microsoft just going to release its own desktop manager? Like, I don't know.
I mean, they're making Linux desktop managers work in Windows. So.
How many more days of October do we have left? Because Edge is supposed to drop out of a sky like a Luyul thermonuclear warhead.
Yes.
Meteor 2020.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that sets everything off.
Well, you know, Hayden, he brought this up too about, you know, the Microsoft won't give up DirectX and their Windows PC gaming franchise right now. It's kind of exploding. So, and their loved Xbox. So.
Microsoft.
That's definitely
Microsoft.
A thing.
So, check it out. If you like what we do, you want to kick us some shackles, that's kind of brilliant. Best way to do that is head over to patreon.com/LinuxGameCast. We got a bunch of membership levels. We got a gang of beautiful, pretty patrons helping us each and every week. All of you lovely people, come check out the end. Your name's going to be in the credits, man. We got Chairlings, Death Note, Sea Monsters, and six more levels. They're terrifying. Chicago. Can't say the rest of that. Go look for yourself. Executive producers and advisors helping us do this, man. We get an interesting business model where we just give everything away. And if you like it, I'm like, you know, all right, hey, that's kind of brilliant. And we get to do a bunch of extra things. Now, we do have merch.
Yay.
If you want to buy some
store.linuxgamecast.com.
That does work. And if you want to, like, scare friends and family for October, buy them some LGC merch. Now, admittedly, it might confuse them more than scare them, but hey, man, take a win where you can get it.
That's by the pink thing. Frank shirt.
Yeah. Hell Elks in pink.
Spoilers. Jordan and I are working on some custom gear, but we're going to have to test them on ourselves first.
Yeah.
Looking. And a couple other things we do have. If you're ever curious about anything that is effectively in this room, it has been stuck together, itemized, and I don't say buy it off Amazon. I don't, especially this latest stuff I've thrown up. But we have, what do they even call it? I think it's like an influencers list. It's Amazon.com /shop/latest Gamecast. And it's, to finish that thought, if you just go to like our web zone, go to the about section, but it's definitely everything we have. Like, I want to take some of the guesswork. It's like, hey man, maybe you want to build one of these Pi camera things. That's what you need to buy. Just, you don't want to buy that camera module on Amazon because they want $93 for it. And that's a $50 part. So yeah, keep that in mind. But that applies to like all the computers and stuff that's stuck together, networking stuff, office supply stuff, man. I've tried to be very good just in case I ever have to come back to, like the insurance. It'll be real easy to itemize everything.
Huh? Yeah. It's like, you see this here? I have one of each.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, save them time. I just send it to Link and I'm like one of those. Yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, all that's new because I tend to buy used stuff. Things can cost still. If you want to end up on our fine upstanding cannibal wall and be one of these beautiful people, you can head over to our wish zone, which again, it's more Amazon stuff. We don't use it as what we're supposed to. Maybe you just want to head over and take a look at some of the stuff I'm planning on buying for the studio. Up to and including this. Pedro, what are your thoughts on that? I don't know if I trust these.
It's a 1700X or a regular 1700, so that's probably fine. I wouldn't recommend a 120 AIO for anything.
Why not?
240 minimum.
240.
Because the thermal density of the amount of liquid that you can have in a 120 is not enough, usually. But if it's just a 1700 and it's idle most of the time, it's probably fine.
Yeah. It's well, it's a 65 watt TDP, man. So
yeah.
Mm. It just gets loud at like on hour 3 on Saturdays. Then again, it's got a Hyper 212 on it, but I mean, what doesn't? I mean, that's the hey, go check out Jill and Pedro. They got like legitimate. Pedro and Jill both have legitimate wish list with like stuff and knickknacks and toys and stuff that they want. And they'll read. They'll be good people. They'll pull out like a little card that you can send them. And they'll be like, oh, thank you. And they'll read whatever you say. Anything I make them. That's kind of brilliant.
Yes.
Literally anything that won't land me in jail. So have that.
Yeah.
It's got to be family friendly for the show, though. Don't
edit it and post to make it.
Yes.
Like that's true.
The power of editing.
It's kind of fun. All right. We need to get into a slice of pie.
Oh, you found the Sauron pie. Graven.
Well, I had to, since we're going to be talking about the pie of Sauron.
Yes.
Pedro, you looked into this, so you take it.
I did. And it's basically like the Raspberry Pi blog does every year. They like to pick out a theme for the month and then show like all the projects that people did.
I love this time of the month, though, man. It's like I buy house decorations. Have no illusions, kid. There are sections of my house that look exactly like you think it would.
Yeah. And of course, it's October, so there's a lot of Halloween stuff going on. But
wait, what is that? Is that a TIE fighter? No,
that is the Eye of Sauron.
Pie of Sauron.
The Eye of Pyron.
Isn't that cool?
But yeah, I actually had a look. I had to look at that because I saw that picture. It's like, so there's exposed copper wires and they're all lit up.
Is there a video?
Yeah, there so is a like, video.
Yeah.
But it's buried somewhere.
That's the there one there. It's like, are those lit up by just running enough electricity through it to make them incandescent? But no. As it turns out, there's teeny tiny little LEDs strung along the copper wires that make that effect. And dude actually adapted a project that someone else had done to project the eye movement to two different lenses, and he projected a single one, and of course he did the Eye of Sauron. So that That looks amazing. If you go look at the video, if you're not watching the video version, find the show notes, go click on the link, click on the video. It's really well done. Mm. Very good job.
Jill, did you have
beautifully done. Yeah, I love the black jack-o'-lantern. It was a 3D printed big jack-o'-lantern, and it's got these creepy eyes that move around that are on a big Raspberry Pi screen. And they made a slot for the Raspberry Pi in that slides right into the center of the jack-o'-lantern, so that it's stable. And it's really creepy.
Is it creepy, Jill, or does it look like kitty cat?
Oh, it does kind of. They are kind of kitty cat eyes, but yeah, a little more evil, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kitty cat, so it's evil. They're conduits to the underworld.
I love kitties. Actually, the eyes are similar to my kitty cat, Frodo. My black kitty has greenish yellow eyes.
Instead of a pumpkin?
No, but if he was, that's what it would look like.
Hey, beautiful people, we are over time. If you want to get in touch with us, tell us about your cats trapped inside digital pumpkins, or maybe you have a Soren of your own. How can they send us a note? Maybe a message. Communicate, if you will, Pedro.
Well, they can build their own version of Baradur and send us light signals with the gigantic eye that they put on top.
The beacons are lit. Gondor calls for aid.
Gondor calls for ale?
No.
And here I thought I was the drunk.
Pedro,
okay.
Pedro, see, the sad thing is I know for myself, I'm thinking about a comic when we say that. About yes. being tan at the beach, but okay.
But yeah, no, if you would like to get in touch with us, besides building your own replica of a fantasy tower with a mystical eye on top of it, the best way is to go to landscapecast.com, hitting the contact button and filling out the form. Fill out your name, fill out your email, a subject, make sure you pick LWDW as a show that you're sending your feedback to, otherwise it may be misinterpreted and considered hate mail.
That's the true. So that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back after the fact. Oh, so keep an eye out, because I'm still like in a boxing match with Cloudflare right now, because we've implemented this new system, which does effectively edge caches our entire site around the globe. And they don't have all the kinks hammered out just yet. So if it takes a minute for like feeds to update or something, when I say a minute, I mean like 12, 13 hours, I'm still hammering things out. But until next week, we will see you. Awesome. Let's roll some credits. Yeah. Hey, I got the thing set up.
Yay. Thank you for everyone who joined us in chat. I saw Mila Gamer Linux in there. Daisy, Artharin, Mir, Strider. Steve Husband. Linux Ganuru, and lots of people in there. All our wonderful patrons and supporters. Do, 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 do.
Okay. Yay. Now that I have found the comic and shared it with Chatwell.
That's working up. Well, what do you mean I'm working? I have it pulled up right now for like a live stream.
Computer Kid, thank you for joining us. And Buck Awful? Buck Awful in there.
Spooky Bad, Spooky beautiful Brad. People. We'll see you next
Sir
week.
Sir Ballas?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lucid Links. Bye-bye.